his heart and takes out from his heart any ill feeling against anyone else. And he says, well, that man is from paradise. He's going to get paradise. So for me, there's a lot of ways of getting paradise. And we are trying very hard. One of the beautiful ways is just let go of things. You let go, Allah says, we'll let go of all your sins and everything. And we'll give you Jannatul Firdaus. May Allah grant us Jannatul Firdaus. May Allah forgive our shortcomings. أقول قولي هذا والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
Forgiving and forgetting, we should know more and more, and of course practicing them. So inshallah, we follow this interesting and necessary topic on the next episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. So follow us on parstoday.ir, the tab Call of Islam. The archive of all the programs are there. Please find today's special. Thank you very much and have a nice time.
La ilaha illallah, Allahu Rabbi, Muhammad Nabi, Aliyul Imami. La fata illa Ali, Aliyul Imami, Aliyul Imami, Aliyul Imami. La ilaha illallah, Allahu Rabbi, محمد نبي علي إمامي لا فتى إلا علي علي إمامي علي إمامي علي إمامي.
Food for thought.
Salam friends, and here is an aphorism from Imam Jafar Sadiq, peace upon him, the Prophet's 16th infallible successor. If a person observes his brother in faith performing something evil and does not prevent him in spite of his ability and authority to do so, then he is really treacherous to his brother.
Pieces of bread from me, and your soul will never be broken. And if I am your haven, you will never be homeless. One whose cloak is me will never be naked. And one whose resort is me will never be destitute. God is above all powers. IRIB English Radio.
Here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio with Sheikh Ammar.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. We have been discussing about the qualities of Shia. That means a Shia has to have some certain qualities. Well, we cannot decide ourselves for ourselves as being Shia that this is the meaning of Shia. No. Shia means those who love Ahlul Bayt and Ahlul Bayt love them. So we are going to have the qualities which is described by Ahlul Bayt alayhimu salatu wassalam. If they say be like this, be like that, do like this, don't do like that, that means if we follow them, then we can say we are Shia. Otherwise, we are the lovers of Ahlul Bayt, and still we are in safe side, we are good, because we love Ahlul Bayt. But make sure, love is out of our desires. I can love thousands of things. I love my car, I love my home, I love my family, and I love Ahlul Bayt. This is not enough. When you love Ahlul Bayt, and in result, Ahlul Bayt love you, that means you are true Shia. So this is dual side relationship. Here, in this hadith, I'm going to explain the first point which has been discussed in this hadith by Imam Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam, where he says, Al-Wara is the first quality, piety is the first quality of a Shia. So we are going to discuss a little more about piety. There's another hadith from Imam Ja'far Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam, where he says, Inna la na'uddu ar-rajul mu'minan hatta yakuna li jami' amrina muttabi'an muridan. We are not going to consider you as a follower, as a true follower, unless you follow our all guidance. I can say like I just follow 20% and 80% I don't like it, 50% I follow and another 50% I don't like it. Let's say 99% I follow and 1%, no, it's not going to happen. If you follow Ahlul Bayt, follow them from A to Z. Otherwise, you are not the true follower, according to Imam Ja'far Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam, where he says, "Inna la na'uddu ar-rajul mu'min." We are not going to count upon you. We are not going to consider you as a mu'min, unless hatta yakuna li jami' amrina muttabi'an muridan. Unless you listen our words, you listen our guidance, you follow our guidance, you take our words in whole as complete, first of all. And then, Allah wa inna min ittiba'i amrina wa iradatihi alwara. If one wants to follow Imam Ja'far Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam, then he has to decide for it. By force, no, you cannot. If my father is telling you have to do this, you have to do this, and then I say, yes, I'm Shia because my father told me I have to follow this. No. Just listen to Ahlul Bayt. Be convinced with them. Try to understand their philosophy, their what they want from you. Then you want it. Doing with your willing. Allah wa inna min ittiba'i amrina wa iradatihi alwara. When you follow willingly Ahlul Bayt, and you really want it, that means you really want to follow Ahlul Bayt with the love, with the respect, with accepting them as your leaders, then go through wara. فَتَزَيَّنُوا بِهِ يَرْحَمَكُمُ اللَّهِ. Make yourself beautiful with wara, with piety. That means you are not going to be beautiful in the eyes of Ahlul Bayt unless you really listen to Ahlul Bayt, you understand Ahlul Bayt, and you follow Ahlul Bayt. فَتَزَيَّنُوا بِهِ يَرْحَمَكُمُ اللَّهِ. And then Allah is going to mercy on you. وَكَبِّدُوا عَدَانَا. And then stop the enemies of Ahlul Bayt from criticizing you. Don't do bad things. So don't let them criticize you. And then bihi, with the help of wara, yan'ashkumullah. And then you can elevate yourself in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then you can go higher into the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the goal and this is the meaning of wara. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Sheikh Ammar in the program Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin.
محمد وآل محمد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسانك ودعوتك ربي بقرآني.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. Respected listeners from all over the world, welcome to IRIB English Radio. Thank you so much for joining us on Let's Recite the Quranic Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International Schools Network. I'm really happy to have brothers Ali Nasir, Hussein Ruhullah, Fawad Haider, and Hassan Nasrullah with me here today in the studio. I really welcome them all. Assalamu alaikum, everyone.
Wa alaikum assalam.
And Fawad, how are you?
Fine, sir.
Hassan, how are you?
Fine, sir.
Alhamdulillah. And Ali Nasir?
Alhamdulillah,
Hussein?
Sir.
Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. Inshallah, we will practice Ayah 42 from Surah Al-A'raf on page 155. So, dear listeners of IRB English Radio, grab your Qurans, turn to page 155, Surah Al-A'raf, Ayah 42. Let's listen to the recitation of this ayah.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Walladhina amanu wa'amilus salihati la nukallifu nafsan illa wus'aha ulaika ashabul jannati hum fiha khalidun.
Very nice recitation. I really enjoyed it. If you've enjoyed it, give me a big yes.
Yes.
All right. So I'll read it once, then one of you will recite it. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Walladhina amanu wa'amilus salihati la nukallifu nafsan illa wus'aha ulaika ashabul jannah hum fiha khalidun. Who wants to read?
Me.
Mimi.
Fawad.
Who is Mimi?
All of us.
Hussein, read it, please.
Okay, sir.
Because in the previous session, okay, he lost the election, okay? He was a candidate, but he lost the election. So let's relieve his heart, okay? And give him the chance to recite it. So
that's
Hussein.
Bullying. That's.
All right. Okay, Hussein. Sir.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
Wow, what an energy.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات لا نكلف نفسا إلا وسعها أولئك أصحاب الجنة.
ما شاء الله.
هم فيها خالدون.
أحسنتم. Thank you so much. You really gave us a fresh moment.
Excellent. Excellent.
Excellent. Impressive. ما شاء الله.
ما شاء الله.
والذين آمنوا. Tell me some of the letters that you really have to pay attention to in case you have any problems with the pronunciations in Arabic letters.
Wow.
Wow.
Thal.
Thal. What else?
Hamza.
Hamza.
Ayn.
Ayn.
Saad.
Ha.
Ha.
Yes. And khaz.
And ha.
What?
Ha.
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 Ha. Oh, yeah, yeah. Ha.
We have ha. We have
ha. The light soft.
Ha is not that much hard because it's also in English.
You may miss some
languages. No, but because it might be
confusing.
Okay.
By ha. And
yeah, you might.
Confused.
It's confusing.
Yeah.
Yeah, you might be confused. Look, you have ha, ashabul jannah, ashabul. Then you have hum fiha khalidun. So ha is as if you use your belly button to breathe out.
Yes.
That's it. And use your throat. And you don't push it, okay? No. It's not.
Not really. Easily.
All right. That said, the first point, pronunciations of the letters, and second one, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Make sure you pronounce the mat letters correctly. Hassan, there are three mat letters. E and
ooh.
Ooh, not ooh. Ooh.
Yes.
All right. Each of them is extended for two counts.
Two counts.
So make sure you do them. وَالَّذِينَ, not ذِينَ. وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, not آمَنُوا. آمَنُوا. وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. All right, Hassan?
Yes.
Everybody read it. وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا.
وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا.
وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ.
وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ.
Alright, alright, wait. Don't say عَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. عَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. Me, E sound. We don't have an A sound in recitation, okay? In some narrations, sometimes they read it, okay? Alright?
A different case.
Yeah. In different narrations, we have it, but basically, normally, don't do that. وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. Read.
وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ.
Alright. لَا نُكَلِّفُ نَفْسًا إِلَّا وُسْعَهَا.
لَا نُكَلِّفُ نَفْسًا إِلَّا وُسْعَهَا.
Alright. Ulaika, make sure the wow in the word ulaika, huh? Is it pronounced?
Yes.
Ulaika.
No,
is
it
that correct? Which one is correct? Listen, I read it two guys. Ulaika, I pronounced the wow. Ulaika, which one is correct?
The second one.
So that wow has a sukun on the sukun sign on the top. That indicates you have to ignore this well. It's written, but you don't have to pronounce it. So we ignore it. Otherwise, we had to extend the sound because it becomes waw mad, yes?
Yes.
But waw mad doesn't have any sukun sign. This waw has a sukun sign. It says ignore it. Skip it. Ulaika ashabul jannah.
أُولَئِكَ أَصْحَابُ الْجَنَّةِ.
أَصْحَابُ الْجَنَّةِ, no. أَصْ, heavy sound. أَصْ. Make sure it has a rough sound. أَصْ. أَصْحَابُ, not أَصْحَا, أَصْ, no. أَصْحَابُ الْجَنَّةِ. Then switch to light sound. أَصْحَا. أَصْحَا. أَصْحَا.
Yes.
As this one. As a this way.
Yes.
Ashabul Jannah. Read.
Ashabul Jannah.
Good. Hum fiha khalidun.
Hum fiha khalidun.
MashaAllah.
قرآني.
في قلبي دوما يغمرني من فيض ضياء آيات المولى.
IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Xavier International Schools presents
والكون الواسع في صدري أحضنه غرضا.
Let's recite the Quran.
Allah Almighty says, as for those who have faith and do righteous deeds, we task no soul except according to its capacity. They shall be the inhabitants of paradise, hum fiha khalidun, and they shall remain in it forever. Look, a lot of people say that, well, waking up early in the morning to do the morning prayer, it's really difficult.
Really?
I have to be sleeping at that time.
No.
Oh, wait, it's so dark everywhere, I should get up and go wash your face. And you can no longer sleep because you just become fresh.
That's an excuse.
Just wash your face.
When I pray, I lighten up my surrounding.
You're an exceptional case.
So people say, okay, some people say that it's difficult. So I don't have to suffer difficulty, okay? I don't have to suffer hard times. So I don't want to do the prayers. But Allah Almighty says, no, it's not a difficult thing. All right? It's not something that you can't do. It's something that you can do.
But you won't
do. It is difficult. You have to suffer hard times, okay? But you can do it.
Yes.
This is in your ability. You have the capacity. Because of that, Allah Almighty has commanded us.
But some people don't.
Something. Yeah?
But some people don't.
Well, yeah. Some people even don't believe in God. Okay? Now, لا نكلف نفسا إلا وسعها. Of course, for example, a lady, a girl, okay, who has just entered 9 years old, okay, entered her age of puberty, maybe. So if it might be really hard for her to fast, okay, she's not able to do that. So a lot of people have this doubt that, oh, look at Islam religion. They force a girl age of 9 to fast. Well, she can't. Without breakfast, if she goes to school, she will pass away. Huh? How can she fast for like 12 hours, 15 hours, 20 hours? It's impossible. Islam is not a good religion. Allah says, no. لَا نُكَلِّفُ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِلَّا وَسَحَا. If that young lady cannot fast, okay, it's okay for her. She can do it after, whenever she could. Yes?
But sir, we know, for example, I myself know many people who fast from 6 years old whole month of Ramzan.
Thawabi one, yes?
Ramzan, yes.
Recommended one.
They are maybe not Bali, but they do that.
Yeah, yeah. Of course.
So that's not so hard.
Yeah, it's that's not
possible.
Sure. Yeah, Allah says that, yeah? It's in your capacity. If it is wajib when you enter the age of puberty, of course it is wajib upon you, okay? But before that, it's not, you're not forced to do it when you're not mature enough, okay?
Question.
Yes.
Yeah.
For example, someone is sick. He can fast. He can fast.
Sick or Muslim?
He's a Muslim, but he's sick.
He's ill, okay.
Yeah, he's ill. So, why does God say that he cannot fast if he's sick?
Oh, in that case, it's harmful for him. So, in that case, it becomes, if he really cannot, and if he does, that's haram for him to do it. In that case, the rule changes. All right? So, Islam is... the religion of wisdom.
The only constant thing is change.
Alright. So, that's it. Refer to the Tafasir books, inshallah, to learn more. It's time to recite this ayah, the last part of our class. I'll do it. You make sure to repeat after me. Ready, everyone?
Yes.
Yes.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
والذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات لا نكلف نفسا إلا وسعها
والذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات لا نكلف نفسا إلا وسعها
لا نكلف نفسا إلا وسعها أولئك أصحاب الجنة
لا نكلف نفسا إلا وسعها أولئك أصحاب الجنة
هم فيها خالدون
هم فيها خالدون
صدق الله العلي العظيم
صدق الله العلي العظيم
أحسنتم Allah bless you inshallah That's it from us for today Dear brothers and sisters Dear listeners of IRB English Radio Stay with us Thank you so much for being with us today We look forward to seeing you In the next coming sessions inshallah Thank you so much Fawad Hassan Hussein Ali Nasser For being with us in this session Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen Wa sallallahu ala Sayyidina Muhammad Wa alihi al-tahirin
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم
Let's recite the Quran. A joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نرقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن
ربنا
Supplication is the wealth of the believer and the bridge by which one achieves proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the exalted.
A path to salvation, a way to connect the two worlds. On the program, Bridge.
You're listening to the program Bridge on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Mahdi.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah. Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalam ala ashrafil anbiya wal mursaleen. May Allah's peace and blessing be on His last messenger wa ala alihi al-atharin and on His pure progeny. We were spending some moments in the previous sessions touching on the parts of the 12th dua of Sahifa Sajjadiyah. The title of this dua is Fil I'tiraf wa Talab at-Tawbah ila Allah Ta'ala, in confession and seeking repentance or seeking forgiveness to Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. We are approaching the golden time of our life, the golden time of our year, where the night of Qadr, where this destiny of ours will be set, where our sustenance will be finalized and written is going to be fallen into this month. Every moment of this month is so important that the Holy Prophet says, "Naumukum fiha ibadah." Even your time that you take a nap and you sleep, the time of your rest is counted as worshiping of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything that you do, every action that you do will be counted as a work of worship, as an act of worship. Even breathing while you're fasting and while you're in this month of Ramadan. So it's so important for us to utilize and take benefit of this month to connect with the teachings of Imam Sajjad alayhi salam in the du'as of Sahifa Sajjadi. And one of the very good du'as to be recited on these first 10 nights of the month of Ramadan, on the very first bend of the month of Ramadan, is this 12th du'a. He says, Imam in here says, Alladhi, I am the one, Al-Mustakhiffi bi-hurmati Rabbih. I am the one who has made the light of his Lord's inviolability and whose sins are dreadful, great. الَّذِي أَذُمَتْ ذُنُوبُهُ فَجَلَّتْ. Let's take a break and come back.
رَبَّنَا
A path to salvation. A way to connect the two worlds.
The bridge between Allah and His creation.
A bridge that is meant to take us to Allah, to take us to His proximity. A bridge that is in the form of dua and supplication.
In this program, we offer commentary on the du'as of As-Sahifatu Sajjadiyah of Imam Sajjad alayhi salatu wasalam.
The famous book of litanies, the Psalms of Islam.
Bridge.
Rabbana. Rabbana.
And Imam Sajjad alayhi salam continues this dua, dear respected listeners. Imam says, وَأَدْبَرَتْ أَيَّامُهُ فَوَلَّتْ حَتَّى إِذَا رَأَى مُدَّةَ الْأَمَلِ قَدْ انْقَذَتْ. Whose days have parted, have fled, have gone, has expired, until when he sees, until there's a moment that you come to yourself, that you get yourself back together, and you see that the term of his works has expired. Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen has a beautiful hadith that many of you have memorized, and inshallah all of you have heard this before. If not, this is our gift to you tonight or in this episode. Imam says, Al-Furaso, the opportunities, Tamurro, they pass, Kamar al-Sahab, they pass like the passing or like the passage of the clouds. What is the quality of the passage of the clouds? You look at the sky, there's no noise. There is no speed symptoms. But they're really moving really, really fast and quick. Why? Because you look at the skies and you look at the skies a few minutes later, the clouds are not there. They move noiselessly and quickly. This is how the opportunities of this life are. Imam says, Al-Furaso tamurru kamar as-sahab. The special timing of the month of Ramadan will come and go. The special timing and period and season of forgiveness will come and go. There are certain acts that you could do in the month of Ramadan that you cannot do them. You cannot perform them outside of the month of Ramadan. The veils and the gates and the blockages that you have created by your actions outside of the month of Ramadan will be removed unilaterally from the side of the Lord, from the side of Allah, just for the sake of the blessing of this special season, this special time, this special period. وَمُدَّةُ الْعَمَلِ قَدْ انْقَذَّتْ. The term of his works has expired. Let's take a break and come back.
Rabbana,
You're listening to the program Bridge on IRIB English Radio.
Respected listeners to the program Bridge, as we are approaching the holy month of Ramadan, in these remaining days and hours before the start of this month of Allah, a month of the mercy of Allah, we ask Him, the Almighty, to forgive us in the remaining hours of the month of Sha'ban. Allahumma in lam takun ghafarta lana fi ma madha min Sha'ban. If you haven't forgiven us in what has passed from the month of Sha'ban, forgive us in the remainder of the month of Sha'ban, before we enter upon this feast of Allah, this month of mercy. And Imam Zainul Abidin, in the 12th dua of Sahifa Sajjadiya, he says, I come to the point until when a servant, he sees مُدَّةُ الْعَمَلِ قَدْ انْقَذَتْ, the term of his works expired, and وَغَايَةُ الْعُمْرِ قَدْ انْتَهَتْ, and the limit of his lifetime has reached. There are some people who are hospitalized with unknown or very complex sorts and kinds of cancers, and the doctors do not know the treatment or the positive or the practical treatment for it yet, but they know that this patient has 12 more days, and they tell them, they say that you have possibly 2 more weeks to go on, and that will be it. That certain part of the body is going to stop working, that certain area is going to start not functioning anymore. Imam says there's a point that you see وَغَايَةُ الْعُمْرِ قَدْ انْتَهَتْ, that the capacity of this life has reached its limit. The time is gone. The opportunity is gone. O Allah, make us remember continuously that we have limited opportunity and we are in limited time frame in the life of this dunya. وَالسَّلَامُ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ وَبَرَكَاتُهُ.
That was Sheikh Mahdi in the program Bridge on IRIB English Radio.
هرگز نگیرد تا ابد آقا کسی جای تو را, هرگز مخواه از کف دهم عشق و تولای تو را.
Every night and every day, every night and every day, never forget to say La ilaha illallah, never forget to say La ilaha illallah.
IRIB English Radio, a herald of unity and solidarity amongst Islamic denominations.
This is Back to Reality. Back to Reality.
It's the show where we discuss the most topical of topics, the most controversial of controversies, and the most important affairs of affairs.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. Welcome back to a new episode of Back to Reality. Well, thank you for joining us. As for today's episode, this is Asma. Once more, I have the honor to be your host. And here with me, I have two very dear guests, Sister Bita and Sister Nahid. Well, assalamu alaikum, both of you.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Well, as the ritual of this program goes, I would love you to introduce yourself very much briefly. Like, tell us about your background, what you study, and stuff like that, because we all want to know you.
Salam to you and all your dear listeners. Well, my name is Nahid. I've been studying English translation for about 4 or maybe 5 years. Mm-hmm. And then for my MA, I was studied TFO, I mean teaching English. And yeah, I'm a teacher, Muslim researcher. I've done some researches on my religion as well.
Thank you very much. And
my pleasure.
Yeah, it was a pleasure knowing you. So, and you, Sister Bita?
I'm studying medicine, and it's a pleasure for me to be here with both of you here and our dear listeners out there.
Thank you very much, both of you. Thank you for joining us in today's episode.
You're
I
welcome.
Hope that we're going to have an amazing session together. Well, as you know, as all the human life tells us, like the novels we read, like the stories of great people, like their biography,
yeah,
and there are a lot of movies out there as well, tell us that there are some special moments in each individual's life that would be considered as a revolution. Like, even in our life, we have seen some moments, some eras that are considered to be like the revolutionary part of our lives. Sometimes an incident happens and then I'm not the same me. Like, the same person who was an hour ago is not visible after that 1 hour. Because a moment of manifestation happens, a moment of recognition happens, that I'm starting to see a new version of myself. And not just that, I'm going to see life in a different perspective. As if I have changed the glasses in my eyes, as if unconsciously, without me knowing that, I'm just seeing things differently. So I just want you to talk about this. First of all, tell me.
Yeah, sure.
If you had any of these experiences.
Sure, I had.
So, and then define revolution and that revolution in your perspective to us as well.
Yeah, sure. If I want to talk about myself, I can give you the example of about 10 years ago. I was just about to have the entrance exam. I was 18, and it was that moment in which I just felt the true meaning of revolution in myself. And maybe it is kind of related to the fact that at that age, I confronted death for the first time in my life.
Oh, my God.
And, yeah, not myself, but one of the nearest ones.
I know.
It was my
yes.
grandpa. I was so attached to him.
Yes.
And at that time that I lost him, it was the kind of bigger illusion in myself. And there I realized that, yeah, a person can change totally. The Nahid, which was just there. An hour
was not
ago,
anymore.
Yeah, an hour ago has just changed now, and is another person in another whole new world. And I just found myself loving different things, thinking about different things, and not being scared of the scariest thing in my life, which was death.
And okay, now that's very nice and interesting that you're saying that you started not to be scared.
Yeah.
Of that biggest trauma of your life.
Yeah,
which was
exactly.
Death. What about you, Sister?
Yeah,
Vito?
Contrary to other people that have different experiences of revolution, for example, losing some
yeah.
beloved people, I don't know, going through a kind of religious journey, going through Hajj, and these kind of big accidents of their life that will lead them to a revolution,
yeah.
my story
there
is quite a bit
different. There must be a
trigger
for that revolution.
Yeah, my story is a bit different. Whenever I go through a phase of loneliness, a phase of solitude, when I go through a phase that I have nothing special to do. For example, it was a phase for me after my university entrance examination, and before going through the university, I had completely nothing to do.
No, it's very funny that university
yeah.
is, you know, a marker for everyone.
It is.
Yeah, exactly.
It is.
Getting into a new era after you go through that entrance
yeah.
exam. It's as
it
if,
all starts from the entrance
exactly.
examination.
As if a new era
yeah,
is going
and
to happen.
That phase of silence in my life made me a complete revolution. At that time, because there was
yeah.
nothing for me to think about, there was nothing for me to do, there was no pressure on me, and that feeling of complete freedom, you know, led me towards the road of being lost.
Exactly.
And that feeling of being lost, you know, was a trigger for me in order to go through a revolutionary phase of my personality.
I do believe in that as
yeah.
well, because sometimes when I'm left in my brooding zone, I start to understand some things in a different way, And then in that moment, we have the concept of trauma of real. I don't know how much familiar you are with that concept, but psychologically speaking, as according to Lacan, there are different phases of development for a person's psychology. So what happens is that there are three stages. I'm not going to talk about them, but then there's one stage which is real. And the stage of real, which we do not have any grasp to it, which we do not have any, you know, it's not available to us to understand it. But it happens through momentary experiences that we go through. Like, for example, you're sitting, suddenly you remember something, and suddenly you see something, and then your conscious and unconscious would overlap, and then you get the meaning of that real.
Yeah.
For a moment, you get to touch the realm of real, and then it would create such a trauma of real in you. It's bitter and it's sweet. It's sad and it's happy. All of them together. The revolution that we're talking about just reminded me of that notion, the trauma of real, which is interesting, of course, to go into the depth of it and know more about it. It was just a trigger for you to go and search more and more about it. Well, this is the first step for us to get to know more about revolution. We cut it in here, go for a short break, and then we'll be back.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Back to Reality.
Welcome back. Well, this is Back to Reality. We're talking about the revolutionary moment of our lives, and usually it happens with a great incident or accident or phenomenon that happens into our life, like the death of a dear one, like a great exam we go through, like meeting someone, like getting to read a new book. All of these things might lead you to a revolutionary moment that would change you like in a blink of an eye. How do you define those revolutions, by the way?
You know, not psychologically speaking, but I've heard some stuff that when you face the fear and when you kind of cope with it, it is in that moment that you change. And when you change, I guess, in my opinion, a revolution can be defined as a moment in which you totally change. I mean, you can't even recognize your previous person again in your life. And yeah, I think that moment for, at least for myself, it was like this. And when I just coped the phobia, it was there that I changed, and that change just has done a lot of things in myself.
So when you face your traumas and your phobias and you come to embrace them, you think that those moments lead you into a great, they would lead into a great change, and then that would be called a change. So what about you, sister?
I believe there is no combination, like, kind of, for example, revolutionary moments. I mean, revolutions are not moments. Revolutions are process.
They're not moments, but you know, there is a trigger at a specific moment that starts everything. It works like a sparkle.
You know, we as human beings tend to connect our changes to something specific in our life. For example, death of someone. For example,
because they are related.
Yeah, they are related, but when, for example, you meet someone new in your life, at a moment of meeting that person, I don't feel like it will lead you to a revolution.
Trust me, it will.
Sometimes, but not most of the time.
I read a book. Yeah. Before that book, I have never been thinking about the way that character has thought about.
Okay.
I think about the notion that psychologist is talking about for the first time ever. For a moment, for a short time, like as I told you, just as a trigger, sparkle. A transitory moment.
Yeah.
Like, there comes to happen a moment of a sparkling in my brain.
Yeah, I know.
Like something, like a new light is in my head, and then I start to see things differently.
You know, for me, it's like the moments that my mind goes blank and it's empty.
Yeah.
And this emptiness, after this emptiness, there is a revolution.
Exactly.
But the thing is, I believe most of the revolutions that happen in our life are the times that we don't feel it. We don't think that it's a revolution.
So how do you define it as a revolution?
I define it as the changes and the consequences of the accident that will show itself during a period of time. Mm-hmm. For example, like 1 year, like 2 years.
So you don't necessarily have to be aware of it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's my point of view about revolution.
Yeah, nice. Very nice. We want to talk about the consequences of these revolutionary moments, but then we have to go for a short break and then come back. Welcome back. Well, this is the last part of today's episode. We're talking about revolutionary moments that happen to all of us, those moments of manifestation, those epiphanic moments that we go through that would make us these new people, like we do not even remember who we were before that. As if I am just thinking outside the box. The previous me is inside that box and I'm no longer in that box anymore. If you want to mention some of the most important consequences of the revolutions that you've been through, what are you going to count in that list?
Yeah, if I want to just count them, I'm going to count the new features in me. As I mentioned, the first one surely had been the change in my phobias and in my personality. And in one sentence, I can say I grew up after the revolution. I wasn't just having the previous habits, like acting childish, I don't know, even this. It's a little bit sad, but I used to, as I mentioned, I used to be so attached to my grandfather. And after that, after the revolution in me, after the big change, I realized the maybe true nature of life and how different it could be from the perspective of a teenager, which was just there a few years ago. I just learned how to control my emotions, because there were just some sad moments in which you are just responsible for the people around you.
And you think it's possible to control it?
Not completely. It's not okay, and it's not even possible to stop being attached to people, but it's possible to control.
Yeah, actually, there is this understanding of revolution that it will lead you towards this growth, this being better, and so on. But sometimes, for example, when you lose some beloved people in your life, you feel like life is meaningless. You feel like life is empty. And this feeling of emptiness will lead you towards this carelessness, towards this road that, okay, if it's like that, if I'm going to die one day, why bother myself do this and that? Sometimes revolutions are like that. So the point is, I believe these revolutions are themselves some examinations, mm-hmm. some exams, sometimes obstacles in order to go through for you to understand and to learn how to control different circumstances and different situations in your life.
Yeah, that is very true.
Well, yeah, and I have seen too many people who just fail in those exams.
Exactly.
They can't face.
There are different types of revolutions that might happen to us. Different aspects and different details that are attached to each one of these revolutions. When people go through storms, the person who's going to come out of that storm is not the same as the person who was at the very beginning of that journey. So we're not meant to be and stay the same passive personalities for the rest of our lives. Revolutions happen. We are going to go through growth, or even sometimes maybe those revolutions might be the downfall of us. But the thing which is so important is that the connection to Allah and the connection to your Lord is going to determine what kind of a revolution is going to happen in your life. Sometimes God Himself would bring some incidents, some events that would lead you into revolutions, and those revolutions would create a better version of you. So I hope these moments of manifestation in which the angelic part of you, the most flourished part of you, is going to be apparent, would happen to you and to all of us, actually, generally speaking. I hope it happened to all of us, and Allah help us to flourish ourselves. Thank you for staying with us for today's episode. I hope you enjoyed it. Until another session, I just bid you farewell. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Ya Allah, Ya Rabb al-Alamin, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, Ya Rabbi. Let the Ummah rise again.
Ya Allah,
Ya Rabb al-Alamin, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, Ya Rabbi. Let the Ummah rise again. Let us see daylight again, once again.
To avert famine, there must be road access to Gaza's north. Words from the World Food Program. After apartheid Israel turns back a convoy trying to get food into Gaza. Hello everyone and welcome back to Gaza Under Attack. I'm Saeed Bourza. U.S.-Israeli bombs continue to rain down on Palestinians in Gaza as talks for a ceasefire grind on in Cairo, Egypt. Hamas has presented its proposal for a ceasefire agreement to mediators. The Israeli regime has not sent any negotiators to the talks. What will their response be? Lebanon's Hezbollah has launched heavy rocket barrages at an Israeli kibbutzim in the north of the 1948 occupied territories in response to an air raid that killed three civilians in southern Lebanon. The Association of Southeast Asian Nations, ASEAN, have called for an immediate and durable humanitarian ceasefire in the besieged territory as the holy month of Ramadan approaches. And apartheid Israel's war cabinet minister Benny Gantz in London after spending 2 days meeting power brokers in Washington. Is this the beginning of the end for Benjamin Netanyahu? In only 5 months, the U.S. Europe-backed Israeli genocidal campaign in Gaza has killed more than 30,000 Palestinians and wounded over 72,000 others. With us on this edition of the program, British-Palestinian student and activist Tarek Othman, and Rick Sterling, a veteran journalist working with the L.A. Progressive, Anti-War, and Al Mayadeen, to name just a few. Rick joins us via Skype from the Bay Area in California, USA. Thank you both for being here. I'll start with you, Rick. Biden gave the impression a ceasefire was as good as done and dusted, yet here we are. What do you think are the stumbling blocks to a cessation of violence at the moment?
Well, the main stumbling block is the United States' refusal to demand that Israel stop its genocide. There have been three United Nations Security Council resolutions that the United States alone has vetoed. The latest manipulation and trick is for the U.S. to say that Hamas is responsible, but in truth, it's the U.S. and the Israeli government.
What do you make of the U.S. government's claim of putting pressure on Israel to agree to a truce, albeit temporary, and a captive swap?
Well, I think they definitely want a fig leaf, and Joe Biden and Joe Biden's team realize they're in big trouble because the majority of the population in the U.S. and even more so in the Democratic Party are supporting a ceasefire. So they're out on a limb, but they're so beholden to Zionist forces in the United States that they have to do this dance where they pretend to be calling and pushing for a ceasefire and abhorring the slaughter going on there. But at the same time, they want to give Israel more time to try to achieve their goal, which is not achievable.
Exactly. And of course, they continue to veto UN Security Council resolutions calling for an immediate ceasefire, not to mention the continuing flow of American weapons and money to Israel. Tarek, let me come to you for the next one. How does all of this make you feel? More than 5 months on, 152 days on 30,000, more than 30,000 people killed, more than 72,000 people wounded, and yet not an immediate permanent ceasefire.
I don't know, what words there are left to describe
the situation in Gaza right now, the situation in Palestine. Every combination of condemnation and visual imagery and visual description has been used. Every poet has used every last, you know, this